You hear a lot today about giving your best. Giving your best. Whether it's giving your best on the job, giving your best in school, giving your best on the athletic field, giving your best. Did you know that God throughout His Word wants your best in worship? He's always wanted His people to give their best, but they haven't always done it. In Malachi chapter 1, we have the inspired account of Malachi the prophet. And I would urge you to take your right now and turn to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. We're going to begin reading there in verse 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord speaking through Malachi says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness! And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what's blemished, for I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." Jehovah here is speaking to the priest of Israel. But today, since Christians are all priests, the principle applies to each one of us here today. Each one of us, being priests, have the responsibility of giving God our best. What was the problem here? We see in the very beginning of our text in verse 6 that they didn't value God's name. In other words, there was a lack of respect for God and for His Word. Instead, they should have been exalting His name. Psalm 34:3. They should have been exalting God's name. Instead, they were showing a lack of reverence for His name. And how were they doing that? Well, they despised His name by not obeying His Word. And we have that principle today as well. If we don't respect, then we don't obey. And that was their problem. They weren't respecting God's name. They weren't obeying His Word. They didn't love God as they claimed. But they were cold and they were insensitive. They were like some of those that Jesus talked about in Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" They were paying God lip service at best. They didn't respect God for who He was, and as a result, they weren't obeying His Word. Well, giving God means respecting His name, respecting His Word, and esteeming it highly. We need to hold up God's Word. Why? Because it's from Him. We need to be like those in Thessalonica. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a marvelous verse that we all need to pay a great deal of respect of. Attention to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul, writing to the church there, says this, For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. He was commending them for accepting the word, not being from men, but from God. Now, this is what many people in Malachi's day were not doing. They weren't respecting God's word. It wasn't that they didn't know God's word. It wasn't ignorance. They weren't respecting it. They weren't obeying it. And notice how this is kind of given in a conversational dialogue type form. Like God accuses them of something, and then they reply, well, how are we guilty? And then God comes back and answers it. So the first one is, God says that they have despised His name. They come back and say, in what way have we despised Your name? In verses 7 through 9, it says that they had made an offering, but it wasn't their best. He says, you offered defiled food in My altar. You say the table of the Lord, the altar, is contemptible. It's something to be despised. And what were they doing? They were bringing the blind as a sacrifice. Or they were bringing the lame as a sacrifice. They were bringing the sick as a sacrifice. What were they doing? They were sacrificing, technically. But they were doing the very, very least they could do and still say they were sacrificing. In other words, they were giving God the absolute minimum. When the word said to offer an animal, well, they were technically offering an animal, but not the animal God told them. So they were finding all these other kind of animals that were lame and sick and blind and bringing them. They knew what God expected. Again, it wasn't ignorance on their part. Way back in Deuteronomy, they were given the guidelines about what kind of sacrifice. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 21, they were told, in talking about the sacrifices that they were to bring, but if there is a defect in it, in the sacrifice, if it's lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. Clear as a bell. They knew exactly what they were to offer. So even though they were making a sacrifice, it wasn't what God required. God required their best. They were trying to give Him the very least they could, the absolute minimum. They were trying to squeak by, in other words. And when we give God our scraps, that's what these basically were. These were their scrap animals. Their scrap animals. When we give God our scraps, what we're doing is just what they're doing. We're despising His name. In other words, we're not honoring Him when we don't give Him our best. They were showing very little respect for Jehovah. They weren't honoring His name. They weren't putting His name up above every other name. Because if they were, they would have been giving God their absolute best. But they weren't. They were giving Him all these other things. And He even says, why don't you try giving that to the governor? Would he accept lame and sick and blind? Of course, it's a rhetorical question. No, he would not. So why do you think God would accept less than the governor would? God doesn't accept less than the governor. He expects more than the governor. He says, I want the best of your flock. I don't want the lame and the blind and the sick. You bring me your absolute best. Don't bring me your leftovers. Don't bring me your scraps. Does God get our leftovers? Are people still giving God their leftovers? Do we give God our leftover time? Well, I've got a little time I can spare for you, and that's it. Do we give God our leftover money? Well, I've got just a little bit left over. What about our passion? Do we give God our leftover passion? What about our leftover enthusiasm? What about our leftover talent or our leftover abilities? Do we give him just the scraps of all of those, just the absolute minimum? You know, if our worship time is the very least, if it's minimal, aren't we dishonoring God with what we're doing? Aren't we despising his name? Aren't we lowering his name and putting other things in front? In other words, doing what we want and not what God wants. Remember, we're priests. We are priests today. Revelation 1:6, we're a kingdom of priests. And so, as individuals, we're to give God our very, very best. He goes on and tells them in verses 10 and 11, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? He says, I have no pleasure in you. I have no pleasure in you. That's pretty strong language coming from God. God talking to his chosen people, talking about their worship, and he says, I have no pleasure in your worship at all. It's not honoring me in the least. Again, as priests, we have an exalted role to play. It's an exalted role. We need to fulfill our commitment. We must do it. God says it would be better if the doors were closed. God says, I might as well shut the doors of the temple than for this type of worship to go on. So sometimes our worship is worse than not worshiping at all. If we're giving God the scraps, the leftovers, the blind, the lame, the sick, God says, might as well shut the door. Says, I don't accept it. I have no pleasure in it. It doesn't honor me. You're despising me. God says it's hypocrisy. You know, don't claim to be my followers. Don't claim to be honoring me and worshiping me and revering me when you give me the very least you can do. When you just throw some scraps on the altar. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah referred to this problem among God's people. In the very first chapter of Isaiah, he refers to this, beginning in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Worthless sacrifices. Some sacrifices are worthless. Might as well not be made. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred moon, the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I'll hide my hands from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. He says, those sacrifices you're bringing to me are worthless. They're meaningless. They're contemptible. They're futile. You're not giving me your best. You're giving me the wrong things with the wrong manner, the wrong attitude, the wrong spirit. Jeremiah said very much the same thing in his book, Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jeremiah says, hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. So just because worship is done doesn't mean God accepts it. God says, you might as well close the temple doors. You might as well close them. He goes on in the last three verses, says, but you profane it In that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled and its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it. You bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Should I? He says, no. The people were not concerned that their worship was defiled and polluted. In other words, it was just something they wanted to get done. Okay, they knew they had to make a sacrifice, so they found something. Wasn't what God wanted. They just went and did it to get it over with. That was what worship had deteriorated to many people at that time. That's all it was. It was a weariness to them. It was a burden to them. And God says, you're abusing the altar. Says you're despising the altar when you're bringing something like that. You were showing a lack of respect. Says you claim it's a weariness. Oh, I have to bring that sacrifice and put on the altar. Well, if I have to do it, I'll do it, but I'm just going to bring some scraps and leftovers and throw it on the altar, be done with it so I can get out of here. That's exactly what he's saying. It was a burden, something that they thought they just had to suffer through. There was no joy in worship. There was no respect in worship. There was no rejoicing in worship. In Isaiah 43, Isaiah also refers to this. In Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 22, Isaiah says this, but you've not called upon me, O Jacob. You've been weary of me, O Israel. You've not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I've not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You've bought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with your iniquities. What Isaiah says about the people. They were giving God what practically cost nothing. In other words, things that were taken in violence, things that were lame or sick. Verse 14 says, I'm a great king, the greatest of kings. He deserves respect. Remember the Hallmark card slogan, when you care to give the very best. God doesn't accept excuses, nor does He accept shoddy work. He expects our very best. Here's some, I hope, helpful suggestions. Our worship needs to be centered on Jehovah at all times. In Psalm 95, we have the psalmist describing that type of worship. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it's a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Notice the distinction about halfway through that psalm. He talks about what worship is supposed to be like, and then what it was for some. Put our all into worship. Give it our very best. Give God your everything. Don't be a spectator. Because others can't worship for you. God seeks worshipers. Be on time and bring your Bible. Listen carefully to the words of the songs, the words of the prayers, the words of the sermon. And remember that worship is a privilege and a blessing. It's not a weariness and a burden. If finally, in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer gives us this instruction. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, and we'll be finished. Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. The Hebrew writer says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Notice, serve God acceptably. There's a way to serve Him unacceptably. God doesn't just take anything we do. And we're to do it with reverence and godly fear. Respecting His name, revering His name, giving God the very, very best that we have. Why? Because of who He is. He's a consuming fire. This morning we have a tremendous opportunity to do what's right, whether it's becoming a Christian, like Garrett did Wednesday night, being born again, asking God for forgiveness if we need to publicly confess and ask for forgiveness. Whatever the reason might be, let's don't wait as we stand and sing this song.